gems, and jewels. Wise sayings, interesting events, and moral lessons from Islamic history. The story of Ibn Judan.
When one thinks about pre-Islamic times in Mecca, certain names come to mind, such as Abdul Muttalib, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandfather, or Waraka ibn Nawfal. But there is another important person who is little remembered today, Abdullah ibn Judan, the first cousin of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq's father. In the early years of his life, Abdullah ibn Judan was neither successful nor happy. In fact, growing up hungry and poor, he soon became embittered by life. For solace, or perhaps out of spite, he turned to evil and committed many crimes. He was caught so often for his evil acts that he was considered by most to be an incorrigible criminal. People thought that he was evil incarnate and that there was no way that he could ever improve. Everyone hated him, including his fellow clansmen, his family, and even his own father. And he reciprocated that hatred with equal or greater vehemence. One day, as he was walking in the valleys of Mecca, ruefully thinking about his bitter existence, he noticed a small opening in a mountain, perhaps an entrance to a cave. He thought that there might be something harmful inside, perhaps a venomous snake. That foreboding did not stop him from approaching. Instead, it encouraged him to go to it, for his situation was so hopeless that he actually wanted to be killed by some venomous lizard or snake so that he could part from his miserable existence. When he came near to the mouth of the cave, he saw a lean shape inside, and through the darkness, he perceived it to be a snake in an erect position, the position most favored by a venomous snake when it is ready to strike. Overcome by madness, Abdullah ibn Judan was terrified and suddenly realized that he did not really want to die. He imagined that the snake was coming at him, and so he jumped wildly, trying to fend off a lethal bite. After a short while, he calmed down, realizing that it was only him that was moving and that the snake was actually in a still position. And when he came nearer, he realized that it was only a statue of a snake, which was made of gold and had two eyes made of precious emeralds. He broke the emeralds off and took them. He then entered deeper into the cave, and from the writings he saw around him, he realized that the cave was a graveyard for the kings of the Jurhum tribe. At the head of each grave was a gravestone made of gold. On it was written a short history of the king who was buried underneath. Surrounding the graves were treasures of gold, silver, pearls, precious stones, and much else. Abdullah ibn Judan picked up a few small treasures, made a sign outside the cave so that he could find it again, and then returned to his people. He was generous with his newfound wealth, giving to family, friends, and to the needy. He was especially generous in gathering people together and serving them food. As time went on, he gained status in society until he became one of the leaders of the Quraysh. Whenever he ran out of funds, he would return to the cave and take some more. His generosity extended even beyond the boundaries of Mecca. Once, when the people of Isham were suffering hard times, Abdullah ibn Judan sent 2,000 camels to them, loading each one with wheat, oils, and other provisions. And every night, someone stood on the roof of the Kaaba and called out, "Come to the bowls of Abdullah ibn Judan." Yet in spite of all of that, the following is related about him in Sahih Muslim. Aisha, radiyallahu anha, said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Indeed, Ibn Jud'an used to provide food for the people, and he would be hospitable to his guests. Will any of that benefit him on the day of resurrection?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, "No. Indeed, on no day did he ever say, 'Oh my Lord, forgive me my sin on the day of recompense.'"
Sustenance.
Among the signs of faith is that one does not look to please others and incur Allah's anger in that process. One avoids praising others for the sustenance that they have received from Allah, the Exalted, and also refrains from blaming others for sustenance that he has not received from Allah, the Exalted. Allah's distribution of provision is not increased for a recipient by the amount of greed or ambition that he shows, nor is it blocked by his hate or envy. Allah, in His infinite justice, grants provision and contentment for those with strength of faith and satisfaction with what is divinely ordained. Likewise, misery and discontent are for those that live with doubt and anger. Let us be satisfied with His will.
They have brought my evil deeds only.
A Bedouin was accused of speaking too freely about the governor, and he was being led to him for judgment. The Bedouin knew that the followers of the governor were going to level at him many other accusations that he was not guilty of, so that they could be free of him and have him imprisoned. And so he prepared a letter in which he attempted to appease the governor and drive away from himself those accusations that were leveled at him. When he entered the gathering of the governor, he read many plots that were written on the faces of those who were present. And so, he took the letter from his pocket and gave it to the governor. He said, "Here, take it and read my book." But the governor did not read the letter and instead merely said, "This is only said on the day of judgment and not to us." The man quickly responded, "This day is worse than the day of judgment, for there both my good and evil deeds will be brought. As for your men, they have brought my evil deeds only and have left off my good deeds." The governor was impressed by his words and freed him.
And he died.
A Sha'b was about to relate a story to a ruler, and he began. "There was a man, but at that point, he noticed a tray of food being brought to them. He paused as he was staring at the tasty food. The ruler said, 'Yes,' and then a Sha'b said, and he died."
He made the ruler laugh.
Asma'i relates from his father that a prisoner was brought before Abdul Malik and was accused of having rebelled against the ruler. Abdul Malik said, "Strike his neck." The prisoner said, "O leader of the believers, this should not be the reward that I receive from you. By Allah, I did not join the ranks of such and such person except because I cared about you and was looking out for your best interests. I am an unlucky man, and I have never fought side by side with a man except that we were defeated. Throughout the years, I have been better for you than 1,000 people on your side who cared about you. I was with such and such a person, and we were defeated. And then I was with such and such person, and we were defeated." He went on mentioning the people that were defeated by Abdul Malik. Abdul Malik laughed upon hearing this and freed the man.
Fiqh.
A man looked at his wife as she was climbing stairs, and he said, "You are divorced if you climb a single step, divorced if you descend a single step, and divorced if you stand still." She threw herself down over the railing and remained his wife.
The forbearance of Ali ibn Hussein, radiallahu anhuma.
Abdul Razzaq related that a slave girl who belonged to Ali ibn Hussein, radiallahu anhuma, was pouring water over him so that he could make ablution. But the jug fell from her hand, landed on his face, and fractured his bone. He raised his head to her, and she recited a part of a verse.
Who repress anger?
He said, "I have indeed controlled my anger." She then recited,
"Who pardon men?"
He said, "May Allah forgive you." She then recited the end of the verse,
"Verily, Allah loves al-muhsinin," meaning the good doers.
He said, "You are free for the countenance of Allah."
A Bedouin's saying.
A Bedouin once said that if authority is given to people who are not accepted, and weapons are given into the hands of those who do not use them, and wealth is in the hands of those who do not spend it, then surely the affairs of society will be at a loss.
A dialogue between a scholar and an alcoholic.
The alcoholic said, "Do you think I am doing wrong by eating a date?" The scholar said, "No." The alcoholic said, "And if I ate with it some grass?" The scholar said, "There is nothing wrong with that." The alcoholic said, "And if I were to wash them down with water?" The scholar said, "Drink and enjoy." The alcoholic said, "Since all of that is permissible, then why do you forbid us from alcohol, which consists of the above-mentioned ingredients?" The scholar said, "I poured water on top of you. Would that hurt you?" The alcoholic said, "No, it would not." The scholar said, "And if I were to sprinkle some dirt in that, would you be hurt?" The alcoholic said, "That would not harm me." The scholar said, "But if I were to mix water and dirt together, and through a process make a large brick from those two elements, and then were I to throw that large brick at you, would you be hurt?" The alcoholic said, "That would kill me." The scholar said, "The same goes for alcohol."
Love of Allah.
Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, said that there are 10 things that bring about the love of Allah. 1. Recitation of the Quran with reflection and with understanding of its meanings. 2. Seeking closeness to Allah by performing voluntary deeds after having performed obligatory ones, for that leads one to the highest levels of love. 3. Remembering Allah during every situation with one's time, heart, and deeds. One's share of that love is to the degree of one's share in that remembrance. 4. Preferring what He loves to what you love when your desires are strong. 5. Allowing your heart to reflect on His names and attributes. 6. Reflecting on His many favors and blessings, both the apparent ones and hidden ones, for that leads to His love. 7. Having your heart softened as it is worshiping Allah. 8. Being alone with Him in worship when He descends during the last third of the night. And this means to invoke Him, to recite His speech, to stand with all sincerity and with good manners and with good submission, and then to end that with repentance and with seeking His forgiveness. 9. Sitting with those who are truthful in their love of Allah. 10. Staying away from all that creates barriers between the heart and Allah.
The worshipper who invokes against the oppressor.
Ziyad ibn Sumayyah wrote to Muawiyah, stating, "Indeed, I have taken Iraq from my right hand, yet my left hand remains empty." He said this, implying a desire to have the Hijaz added to his governorship. News of this reached the God-fearing, pious companion, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhuma, who knew of Ziyad's tyranny and oppression. He raised his hands towards the sky and supplicated, "O Allah, keep us safe from the harm of Ziyad's left hand." A cancerous ulcer began to grow on Ziyad's left hand that ultimately caused his death.
Who should be followed?
A judge from Khorasan wanted to marry off his son. So, he sought counsel with a man who was a follower of the Majus religion. The man said, "People come to you seeking judgment, and here you are coming to seek counsel from me." The judge said, "You must advise me." He said, "Our leader, Khusraw, meaning Kisra, would choose wealth when seeking a wife. The leader of the Christians, Caesar, would choose beauty. And the pre-Islamic Arabs would choose based on ancestry and status. And your prophet would choose based on religion. So choose which among them you will follow."
Humility before 3.
Al-Kisai was the tutor of Amin and Ma'mun, the two sons of Harun Rashid, the ruler of the time. One day, the tutor got up to leave, and both boys ran to their esteemed teacher in order to hand him his shoes. After much argumentation, they both agreed that each would give one shoe so both could share in the display of reverence. Upon hearing this act, Harun Rashid went to Kisai and asked, "Who is the most honorable of people?" The teacher replied, "I do not know anyone more honorable than the leader of the believers." Harun Rashid quickly replied, "No, most honorable among people is he for whom two fight to present him with his shoes, and to please both, he instructs them to each give him one." Kisai became somewhat anxious and began to justify what he had done. Harun explained, "If you had prevented them from giving you your shoes, indeed, I would have unquestionably blamed you. Certainly, their deed did not comprise their honor. Rather, their status, inner merit, and worth have increased. One can never be dishonored if he displays humility before these three: a leader, a teacher, and parents."
The prodigious understanding of Ali.
A woman gave birth to a child only 6 months after she got married. Obviously, however, most women only give birth after 9 months, or if the case is really premature, after 7 months. People began to become suspicious, thinking that the child was not that of her husband, but of a man with whom she had relations prior to her marriage. They took her to the caliph so that she could receive her punishment. The caliph at the time was Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu. When they went to him, they found Ali, radiyallahu anhu, to be in his company, and he was Uthman's judge. Ali said, "You have no right to punish her for this reason." They were surprised and asked, "And how is that?" He recited to them two verses.
"And the bearing of him and the waning of him is 30 months.
This means that the period of pregnancy, as well as the period of breastfeeding, is a total of 30 months.
"The mothers shall give suck to her children for 2 whole years.
This means that the period of breastfeeding is 2 years, in other words, 24 months. Then Ali, radiyallahu anhu, said, "It is possible, therefore, for the period of pregnancy to be 6 months only." And thus was the woman saved from stoning.